the Financial Sense Lifetime Planning Program. Here's your host, Jim Poplava.
Well, we're starting to see more states begin to open up, and people are saying maybe by the end of May or maybe June that the country will be back to normal. Well, what does that normal look like? We're going to take a look at what it might look like here locally where I live in San Diego. Joining me on the program is Deborah Rose. She's president and CEO of North County San Diego Business Chamber. Deborah, you guys are looking at opening up the city. Just bring us up to date. I guess you were saying the chamber or the city council voted on it. You're just waiting for a word from the governor. Any idea as to when that word might come down? Will it be at the end of May?
Gosh, Jim, thank you so much. First of all, we are a regional chamber, and we have had a huge letter writing campaign to the governor and to our county board of supervisors, asking the governor to give more local control to our county board of supervisors, because the governor had mandated that until we had 2 weeks of no deaths, we wouldn't move to another phase, which just really didn't make a lot of sense. So we, along with some other organizations that we pulled together, did a letter writing campaign. And interesting enough, he did say, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and give more local control to the county board of supervisors. So once they got that, they received from a task force in San Diego some suggestions on how to put together protocol for businesses to open. Now, I didn't see all of it for all the different industries, but what I understand from watching the county supervisors yesterday, they voted 4-1 on an accelerated opening program, and they sent it to the governor, and we expect that the governor will make some sort of decision this week, just based on what we're hearing. Some restaurants and retailers may be able to open as soon as this weekend.
Are there going to be some flexibility in terms of how local cities handle this? I mean, you know, we see in the news, Deborah, for example, the LA governor, where you can walk on wet sand, but you can't walk on dry sand. You can walk on the beach, swim and surf, but you can't stand and sit. Are you guys going to have some flexibility in terms of how the city reacts to that? Maybe what the mayor may do to maybe change those rules?
Yeah, you know, Jim, I really can't answer that. I am a president and CEO of a regional chamber of commerce. I'm not in any way connected with the city. Mayor Faulkner has done a great job leading efforts along with our county board of supervisors. And we just leave it in their hands, knowing that they're going to do what's best for our city and our county. They have listened to the business community. They do recognize that the collateral damage from COVID is much worse than COVID itself. And they recognize the economic impact that it's had on the region. So I think at this point, that question would probably be better for them.
You know, I would think that the governor at this point, given the fact that we're going to run a $57 billion deficit, that the governor would want to see the state come back, because I'm just looking, and maybe you have these statistics that are more up to date than the ones I've looked at. Deborah, I looked at there, at least this was last week, there were 231 deaths from COVID in San Diego. Six of those were not comorbidities. Most of them were comorbidities. Yet the unemployment rate in San Diego is 28.5%. That's worse than the Great Depression.
It is. It really is. And like I said, the collateral damage from COVID has been much worse than COVID itself. And I know a lot of those people want to get back to work. They really do. You know, I think really what it's going to come down to is, are the businesses going to have enough time to plan for an opening and to bring their employees back? And it's not just opening your doors and say, okay, come on, everybody, we're open for business. They've got to train their employees. They've got to purchase the PPE. They've got to set up their place of business so that it is the safe distancing. So there's a lot of planning and preparation that goes into it. And people do want to get back to work. I think that no one wants to just sit around and do nothing. No one wants to be confined to their homes. So unemployment is high, but I expect that it's going to be going down pretty soon and probably pretty quickly.
You know, Deborah, what are your businesses telling you within the chamber? And I'm just thinking of how this works when you reopen up. I'm thinking of restaurants. I'm thinking of movie theaters. I'm thinking of gyms. Or heck, if, you know, just department stores, you know, what's it going to be like? Are ladies going to walk up to the makeup counter at Nordstrom's? Have any of your business owners told you how they intend to reopen, I guess, or what changes they're going to make to their business?
You know, Jim, that's a great question. We have such a diverse membership with all different types of business, and everybody's got different plans. I think the most important thing, and that the one thread I keep hearing, is that they want to open up in a safe manner, not just for the customers, but for their employees as well. And while most would like to see business back to where it was, this is a new time and everybody's going to have to do things different. So I don't think you're going to see people just going up to counters and having makeup done. But who knows? I don't think storefronts are going to even allow that, considering it's not safe for their employees either. You know, it's interesting. We do have a lot of restaurants, wineries, breweries, and we're talking about how they're going to reopen. And everybody's location is different. Everybody's footprint is different. So I think it's really going to come down to what are the mandates? You know, how many people can be together? And how do we do the 6-foot distancing? And, you know, it's interesting. Some other of our employees or some of our other businesses have said, we don't know if people are even going to want to go out right away and patronize the businesses. Some people are still really afraid that it isn't the right time. So the good thing with these businesses is many of them have diversified their products and services so that people can purchase them without going into a business. So I think you're going to still see a lot of that as well, which is actually good because then they win on both fronts.
So, you know, I'm just thinking of how a business works and make a profit. Let's just take the restaurant industry. They make a lot of their money on weekends. So Friday, Saturday night, the work week's over, people go out to dinner. And also very critical, because I used to work in a restaurant when I was working my way through college, is you always want to turn your tables over 2, 3, 4 times in the evening because that's how you make your money. So let's just suppose that a restaurant does open up, but they don't have as many tables or booths because of social distancing. I think it's going to be real critical that you turn those tables over.
I think you're right. It's always a numbers game. It really is. But more important than that, let's go back a little bit. First of all, you've got to show customers that they can trust coming back to your business by setting up the proper protocols and the proper processes so that they are safe and they feel safe. I can tell you right now, we have a winery up here in North County. It's a huge property, but they're thinking maybe about going all reservations so that they keep people safe and they know who's on premises. So again, I think it's going to come back to every single business and industry and what works for them. I don't think there is a clear-cut program or standard for every business out there. And then as far as turning tables, we have to admit, I think all prices are going to go up. Look at, they've gone up on food. So they are going to have to raise prices. And one thing I've heard from our restaurants is, gosh, if we can only open up with 50% of the customers that we're used to, is that even going to make sense? Because our rent hasn't changed. Our payroll hasn't changed. The goods and services haven't changed in cost-wise. Is it going to be financially viable for us to open and maintain at 50% capacity?
And have some of your businesses talked about maybe redoing the way they do the business? I know right now some businesses are offering takeout. You can call in your order, show up, and they'll have it ready for you. You can take it curbside. Even some of the stores have been able to do that, where you go on a department store, you order online, and then they have people, you call in, and they bring you your merchandise on the sidewalk and just load it in your car.
Yeah, you know, I actually was fortunate. I was able to use both those services. So my husband and I wanted to buy a TV, and we wanted it right away for a particular event. So we went to a name brand, a big name brand retailer out there, and they weren't open yet. So I went online and purchased it online. And within 30 minutes, they texted me and said that your TV is ready to pick up. And all we had to do was show them the phone message that it's ready with our receipt. As far as dining out, it's always been important to me to support local. And just because the restaurant's closed didn't mean we had to stop. So my husband and I, we do DoorDash or we'll go do pickup probably 2-3 times a week to support our local restaurants. And the interesting thing is a lot of these restaurants before this didn't really do takeout because they're nice restaurants. Well, guess what? They're doing takeout now, and they'll probably continue with it, which diversifies their services, which will allow them to bring back the revenue for both in-store dining and pickup. So there's been some good opportunity that's come out of this, and it's really those businesses that have diversified and learned how to use both sides. I have some retailers. One retailer has said, gosh, you know, I would never do e-commerce because this is a high-ticket item and it's about face-to-face and it's about personal relationships. Well, guess what? They had to go online or they weren't going to survive, and they went online with maybe some smaller ticket items, but now their online business is booming. So it's really, this whole pandemic has really forced people to look at how they're doing business and diversify how and who and what. And I think some businesses are going to come out stronger as a result of it.
Have you talked to any of the movie theater owners? I know that, you know, there's the regular movie theaters like your Edwards where you sit right next to somebody. Then you have what we call the upscale movie theaters where you have like folding chairs and you have an end table where you can have your food on. Those theaters seems like it would be easier to do some kind of social distancing. Or do you take a regular movie theater and say you're only going to allow you go to reservations just like at a restaurant, which you can do at, you know, places like Cinépolis, and you reserve every other seat for somebody to watch? Because, you know, normally, Deborah, this is the time of the year where all the blockbuster movies are coming out, the beginning of summer, May, June, and July. I just wonder what the studios are going to do and how they're going to work that with the movie theaters.
Gosh, you know, that's a really good question. I have to say, though, just knowing my personal habits, and again, this is my opinion, I always go online and make reservations before I go to a movie, and I pick my seats. And I think a lot of the theaters have gone that way, right? So I think people are going to be more cautious when they get their tickets. Maybe more of them do go online and purchase them and purchase the seats where there's no one around on either side of them. So again, I just think business is going to come back, but it's going to come back different.
And do you see this is going to be sort of a gradual build and build up over time? And Deborah, I'm just thinking of what happened after the events of 9/11. Nobody wanted to get on an airplane and fly. And it really took about 6 months to almost a year with the, you know, the NTA and the other government agencies that came in to reassure flyers that it was safe to fly again. And I think that's what, as you mentioned, I think most businesses are going to have to do, whether you're a restaurant, a gym, a movie theater, or even a department store. You're going to have to reassure customers it's safe to come in and shop or watch a movie or eat.
Yeah, I agree. You know, it's human nature to always be cautious. And I believe that it's human nature to want to trust those that you do business with. So I believe if you have a relationship with somebody already, it's just trusting that they have gone in and made the changes needed to keep their environment safe. You know, I think people want to get back to business. People want to get out. You're going to always have those that are a little more cautious. But again, you've got provisions for them. They can purchase online and pick up outside. They can do pick up dining. So there's something for everybody, and it's human nature, you know, and it's going to take time. I mean, this was huge. I mean, I'm 62 years old. I've never in my lifetime seen anything like this. But again, with 9/11, gosh, I was flying to Hawaii 3 weeks after. And I have to tell you, I think that was the safest time to fly because you had all the air marshals. And I think right now the businesses are going to be ever so vigilant in making sure that their locations and their the business is ready to welcome people in a safe way.
Yeah, I can't help but think, you know, as human beings, and especially if you've been quarantined or locked down for, you know, we've been operating remotely as a business for almost 3 months now. And a lot of our employees can't wait to come back to work and be in a social environment. I think as human beings, most people are social. So going out on a Friday night, whether it's a restaurant or going shopping on the weekends, or doing the things we used to do, I think gradually as people feel more confident, that's going to come back. Your opinion?
How can you not? I mean, everybody wants to see people survive, right? Everyone wants to see business survive. Everybody wants to come back together with people. We're social beings. We really are. And honestly, I think that this has given people time to really look back and evaluate and figure out what they want in life moving forward. And I think the whole world's going to be a different place. And that's not a bad thing.
And I just wonder how many businesses will start innovating. For example, when you had Amazon come out, you had the big box stores, Costco, let's say Target, or even Walmart. But look how those big stores have adapted with a major online presence. So I just wonder of online presence, whether it's a restaurant, a movie theater where you go online, you make your reservation and pick your seats, that more and more of that is going to be integrated into our lives, and especially coming out with 5G, where you're going to be able to do more things with your smartphone and do things online. It's just becoming a way of life. I mean, the way we shop today is obviously a lot different than the way we shopped 10 years ago.
You know, Jim, you're right. And I have to tell you, I think to survive this, a business needs to be innovative and creative. And sometimes it's hard because you're inside that business. But there's so many other businesses and resources outside of that business that can help that business be creative, innovative, and look for ways to diversify. And that's why organizations such as ours, we're there and we're talking to our businesses every day and saying, hey, have you thought about doing this? And what about this? And who's your audience here? And what do you think about this? Innovative and creative thinking today is what's going to help a business not just survive, but thrive. And I also want to say this. We have heard over and over that the biggest industry to come out of all this is going to be home-based businesses, entrepreneurs that are going to start working from home, and they are going to create and develop resources and products that are relevant to today's culture and today's environment. And I truly believe that is going to happen because so many people have lost jobs. And again, businesses are going to be done differently. And so what we're hearing is, hey, I'm going to start my own business because I see a need for this and I see a need for that. And again, we've seen it grow over the years, but during 2009, 2010, 2011, we saw a lot of that happening, right? During the Great Recession. And so I think you're going to see a lot of it happening now. And I think it's awesome because there's your innovation and your creation, a creative ability to do something a little different for today's new normal.
And Deborah, what have you heard from your members on the PPP plan where the government's giving money to businesses to keep their employees? Because obviously, if you want to come back, a business needs to retain its employees, the people that know how to do their jobs and make the business function. If you lose all those employees, how does a business restart? What are you hearing about PPP and the SBA loans or even direct Fed loans for larger companies?
You know, that's a really good question. And I have a lot to say on that.
Okay.
So a lot of my hospitality members, restaurants, hotels, nightclubs, breweries, they applied for the PPP. and they got it. However, their biggest struggle is this. They got the funds, but they have to rehire everybody within 60 days. Well, they got those funds in April, and here we are almost in June, and they're not open yet. So how do you rehire everybody if you don't have the business back yet?
Yeah, I mean, that's a big, what, right? What are they going to be doing?
So I don't know. I haven't gotten into that conversation with them yet, but I know that is a big fear of theirs. Big, big fear. And one of mine, in particular, a winery said, gosh, we do weddings, we do wine tastings, we do huge events at the winery. I can't host any of those events. Those aren't until phase 4. So I can't hire back all those employees within 60 days. So I have to pay back all that PPP money with interest. Well, that is extremely frustrating to our hospitality industry members because it doesn't make sense. It wasn't set up for success. It was almost set up for failure, but I don't think anybody even thought about that. Another thing that we're just finding out is those PPP funds that you get, guess what? You're going to have to pay taxes on those. We found that out this week. The IRS is going to tax you on that money.
Is there any, Deborah, isn't there a bill that's supposed to try to correct that?
I've heard rumblings, but I haven't heard anything definitive. I hope so.
And also, what about SBA loans? You know, there's the PPP plan, there's the SBA loans, and then there's also Federal Reserve direct loans. So there's three types of programs depending on business and the nature of the business. That's one question. The second question is, let's just go back to the PPP plan. So you get the money, you have to hire workers within 60 days. You hire them back. Let's get to your winery example. Has anybody talked to the mayor or most especially the governor saying, look, we're bringing these people, we're putting them on payroll with the PPP, but unless we open up and start functioning, this isn't going to work. Does the governor know this?
I'm sure they have a huge association that represents them, huge association, and it's a very, very powerful one. So I'm sure the governor knows. You know, I just can't go into it that deep with them, but I do know they have a powerful association that is focusing on it for that particular industry.
So, Deborah, overall, among your members, as you're speaking with them now, are they optimistic, somewhat optimistic, pessimistic? How are they feeling about reopening and the possibilities?
Well, they're excited about opening, but they're nervous. And what we're hearing is this. They want time to plan for an opening because there's so much that goes into it. Again, it's retraining staff. It's setting up your storefront or your restaurant. It's changing your policies and procedures. There's so much governance that goes into it. You can't just open one day and say, okay, come on in. I mean, there's a lot of planning. So they're worried about that. The second thing is, while they're excited, they're also worried that business people may not come back to the business because they might still be a little bit afraid. So I think there's cautious optimism. And also, a lot of them are thinking, a lot of our restaurants are thinking, how am I going to open and still pay the rent and pay my employees if I can only fill 50% capacity because of the social distancing?
Boy, you know, I don't think any of us or anybody out there can tell you what this new normal is going to look like. I think gradually it is something that we're going to find out over time as businesses adapt and as we as consumers adapt as to what we feel comfortable doing. And we may, I guess, Deborah, in the end, change our behavior. I, like you, bought a TV set, went online to a large retailer, found what I was looking for, pressed a button, ordered it. They delivered it to my home. The guys delivered it, put it where I wanted it. They wore masks. That's the way I bought a TV.
Yeah, you know, I have to tell you, Jim, I like to look at not as a glass half empty or half full, but is it refillable, right? So I look at the opportunities that have come out of this as an organization. My team has worked remote, and it's been pretty awesome in that I have been able to find the gaps where we can do things more efficiently and be a stronger resource for our members. I personally have always been against doing our meetings via video conferencing because I've always been one of those people, it's in person. That's where the relationships are built, face to face. But honestly, since we've gone into this remote work and we can't gather, we have seen more engagement and more people involved in our webinars and in our advisory council meetings via Zoom. Tomorrow, we have a webinar. I have 397 people registered for a webinar. I would have been lucky to get 75 to attend in person. So I think there's a lot of positives coming out of this. There's a lot of opportunity. It's just stepping back and looking at the situation differently. And I'll tell you, we have fixed the gaps that we found. We have the time to do it. We are creatively looking for ways to get more engagement. And between face-to-face and Zoom or face-to-face and virtually, we're going to be able to include more people and build our customer base. You know, when you have virtual meetings, there's no borders. There's absolutely no borders. People can attend, whether they have the time to drive up to you or not. It just is a really good opportunity to grow and diversify your services as an organization.
Well, it's amazing how things change. I know in 2000, I was doing local drive time radio, and then I transitioned to the internet. And instead of just a local audience, now my audience is not only national, but it's international. So, you know, events have a strange way of changing. We adapt, we innovate, and I guess that's what they called creative destruction.
Yeah, I agree. I'm actually pretty excited about this. Like, you know, I think we all go through feelings. The first 3 weeks, I was extremely angry, depressed, and just like everybody else in a stupor, right? And one day I just woke up and went, come on, get out of this. Let's look at what opportunities are there. How can you lead an organization and stay positive and be a good resource if you can't look at the opportunities? So we found a whole lot more opportunities than we did negatives to this. And I'm actually pretty excited for what it lays ahead in our future. I really am.
All right. Well, in conclusion, Deborah, you're looking forward to opening up. And I would say most of your members are somewhat excited, nervous, but cautiously optimistic. Would that be fair to say?
Very fair to say.
All right. Well, listen, Deborah, thanks for joining us on the program and keeping us abreast as to how many cities, including our own, will reopen. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Jim, for having me. I really do appreciate it.
You betcha. Bye-bye.
The Financial Sense News Hour is for informational and educational purposes only and should not be considered as a solicitation or offer to purchase or sell any securities. The investments, investment strategies, and investment philosophies discussed or presented on the News Hour each involve their own unique risk factors, which are not discussed on the show. Responses to listener inquiries are based on the personal opinions of the Financial Sense staff and do not take into account listener suitability, objectives, or risk tolerance. Financial Sense News Hour and its parent company shall not be liable for any financial losses that result from investing in any companies mentioned in Financial Sense or arising out of the use of any material on the News Hour. Please be advised that you invest at your own risk.